We would like to thank Karen Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilah and Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we have in front of us a new Mishnah, but in order to see the new Mishnah, we're going to review the last Mishnah. The main broad theme of this Mishnah is some level of reward and punishment. But as we'll see, the Mishnah brings a lot of different metaphors to bring out this point. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through first the classical commentaries as to what these metaphors are trying to teach us. And then you have in the second sheet, we'll see a more modern academic type of application of this Mishnah, which I think will help frame everything nicely together. So first we're going to start in source number one. So on the big page on the top, it says mixed metaphors, source number one. This is Avos chapter 3. First, we're going to review Mishnah 15, which was last week's Mishnah. And then we're going to do Mishnah 16. Last week, both of these are statements of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, HaKol Tzafui, everything is foreseen. V'arashus Nituna, we have free will. U'vetuva Olam Nidon, the world is judged with goodness. V'akol Lefi Rov Amasa, everything is in accordance with the deeds of people. So the main theme of last week was the concept of free will, and God has foreknowledge, and it sounds like there's also some fair judgment involved. So now, that brings us to this week's Mishnah. As we read this week's Mishnah, see if you can pick up on any of those themes as well. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Hakol natun ve'eravon. Everything, just read it from the translation here, everything is given against a pledge, an eravon, something on loan. And I broke it down in terms of the parts of the Mishnah here, but it's a continuing statement. Umitsuda prusa al kol hachayim, a net is spread out over all the living. Hachanut pitucha, the store is open. V'hachenvani makif, the storekeeper allows credit. V'hapinchas patuach, the ledger is open. V'hayad koseves, the hand is writing. V'chol arotze lelavos yavo v'yilda. Anybody who wants to borrow can come and borrow. Right? Sounds like a pharmacy. Good. The Mishnah continues. The Mishnah continues, maybe that Jake, this is your job. V'hagaba'in machzirin tadir b'chol yom, v'nifra'im min ha'adam midato v'shalom da'ato, v'yesh lem al mashi yismoku. The collectors go around regularly every day and exact dues from man, either with his consent or without his consent, and they have that on which they can rely. And the Mishnah finishes off, din din amat, the judgment is a righteous judgment, v'akol mitukam l'se'uda. And everything is prepared for the banquet. This is a very confusing Mishnah. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of metaphors. And as we'll point out as we go along, especially towards the end, there's a lot of mixed metaphors. Right? They're not using the same metaphor throughout. He starts by saying there is some level of collateral. There's some sort of loan going on. So there's a metaphor of loans and lenders. And then we go to a hunting metaphor. There's a mitsuda, there's a net that's cast out. And then we go to a storekeeper metaphor that you can come and take and buy, and right? And then we go to the gaba'in are coming, they're trying to take away back what you owe. That can go back to either the loan metaphor or to the store metaphor. And then we go to judgment, the din. Who's talking about judgment? Right? We're talking about loans. Where's the judgment? The din is truth. And then there's a banquet. Okay, where did that banquet come from? Right? So we're really moving, we're jumping all over the place. There's a lot of different metaphors. The main idea seems to be something along the lines of God judging us, perhaps. That's the thing we're supposed to take out of this. But as we'll see through the commentators, a little bit more depth. So the way we're going to do this is a little bit different than usual. What I gave you is four different commentators, A, B, C, and D. And I think the best way to do this, there's no real perfect way to do this. This is actually a strange Mishnah. It's one of the Mishnahs that I had the most difficult preparing for because it's so scattered and there's so many things going on. And in addition, we'll see there seems to be some level of repetition. So I think the best way of doing this is that we're going to go by statement and then jump through to see how each statement is dealt with in the different commentators. So you're going to have to jump a little bit with me, but I did try to make it as clear as possible. You have A1, A2, A3, if you see on the sheet, right? If you start in A, you have A1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you have B1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the same thing for C and D. So they all correspond to the six parts of the Mishnah that I gave you on top. So it should be hopefully relatively easy to follow. We're going to go by concept, and we're going to jump through the different commentators. So we're going to start with concept one. Concept one is Hakol Natun Be'eravon. Everything is given against a pledge. What is this pledge? Where is there an arev is a collateral? What are we talking about? So Rashi gives us two different explanations. So look at A1, Hakol Natun Be'eravon, Shakol Arevim Zelazet. So first he gives an explanation that doesn't really have to do with the Mishnah, but it's a nice idea. He says everybody's responsible for one another. So that's a concept we have in Judaism, that I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me. This is a halakhic concept. It's why I can make kiddush for somebody, even though I already made kiddush, because you didn't hear kiddush yet. So therefore, I am allowed to make kiddush, so you can fulfill your responsibility of kiddush. So we're all in this together. Again, a nice idea, but it doesn't really fit with what the Mishnah is talking about. He takes the concept of arevut and puts it to arevon. So we'll just leave it as a nice idea, and everybody should feel responsible for each other. But next, he continues, he says another explanation after the brackets. So, Nun Aleph, another explanation, although it doesn't actually stand for another explanation. But that's what it means. What? Nusach Acher, I like it. Good. Yes, we'll go with that. Nusach Acher, Al Kol Maaseh Yeshlo Arev LaHakadosh Baruch Hu. Every action we do, God takes a collateral from us. We're responsible for that. The nishmaso shel adam arev b'chol evar. Our neshama takes stock, and again, is responsible for everything that our body does. So there's no free pass. Everything, we're responsible for everything that we do. Zachta he. Lozachu lozachtahi vinidonas. Right? So if we do the right thing, so our neshama is very happy. If not, then it's not so happy and we get judged. Right? So the main idea for a ravon here, according to Rashi, is that our neshama is responsible for the actions of our body. Now skip down to B1, Rabbi Ovadja Mibartanura, says something similar to the second explanation of Rashi. Hakol natun be'eravon. Right, everybody following me? Jump down to B. Now B1. Hakol natun be'eravon. Ragloi devar nash inun areven be. So he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah that says that my legs are responsible for me. So basically, my body, my legs, my actions, there's responsibility. Everything is, there's no like free pass. I can't blame it. Can't blame my sins on my hands. I can't blame my sins on my legs. I can't, right? And they're like, it's not my fault. Everything is a responsibility that I have to pay for in the end. Now, if you look in C1, Rabbeinu Yonah elaborates and goes in a slightly different direction. He says, Hu haya omer, hakol natun be'eravon. Kol ma sha'adam lokeach min ha'olam hazeh, ala kol hu arev. Anything you take for in this world, you're responsible for that. Uvanav arevim val yachshov hayoresh es aviv es imo zeh amamin yirushasihu esa mimenu kol ritzoni she'ein lo bishalo klum ki la'ashem akol. And here's the main point, and those are the three words you could underline if you want. That's the point according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Everything's to Hashem. You might think, I just earned this, I just earned that, I just got an inheritance, I just made $1 million, I won the lottery. Everything is Hashem's. It's all on loan. It's all a lending that Hashem's giving to us. And whatever God lends to us, He's going to eventually take back. Mashal Adam Shenichnas L'Medina. So he gives a parable. Somebody goes into a country. Below Matzah Sham Adam. It's like Goldilocks. So you go. You don't find anybody there. You go into a house. There's nobody there. Nichnas L'Bayis Achas. Matzah Sham Shulchan Aruch. You have this full table. It's set, but there's nobody there. V'alav Mikol Minei Maichal U'Mishka. Mashka. There's drinks. There's food. Haya Ochel B'Shosa. V'Omer Halo B'Cholze Anizocha B'Shaliyakol. This is mine. Everything's mine. There's nobody else here. It must be mine. Right? But there was a camera. And obviously, Rabbi Yonah is not talking about a camera. But there was a window. And they were looking through the window. And the people who owned the place were watching. You can't run away. You're going to have to pay for that. And the metaphor is trying to teach us that everything that God gives us, we're going to pay for it. Now, I don't think when we use the word "we're going to pay for it," it doesn't mean it necessarily negatively for it, but we're responsible for it. There's no free lunch. Everything is a gift to us that we are responsible for, and God will take back what He needs to take back. If you that's enough for one, right? So we're going to skip D1 for now. It's a little bit too long. It doesn't add that much more to what we're talking about. So the main idea so far is that we're responsible. Our actions, our neshama is responsible for our actions, and that everything we do, really, everything we own really belongs to God. It is all on collateral. It is all on loan. There's a nice, sad discussion of this concept in the Gemara, where one of the ways that a great rabbi was comforted from the fact that his children were, it's a famous Gemara, his children died, was that the metaphor that was used was that he was given these two beautiful gems to give in as a loan, or to hold on to keep, to watch, and now they were, the person who owned the gems came to take it back away, that the children are really on loan, they're these gems that God gave to us, and God came to take it back. Again, it's a sad metaphor, but the metaphor is the same idea here, that really everything, even our children, are gifts from God. So now, let's do number two now. Okay, so number two was Mitsuda Prusa al Kol HaChayim. A net is spread out over all the living. So what does a net have to do with anything? What is this net trying to teach us? Okay, so you can't get away. Okay, so maybe it's connected directly to everything's on collateral. You can't run away. There's no escape. So let's look at Rashi. A2. Umitsuda prusala chayim. So what does he understand that this net is? Hamavas. You can't escape death. She'enu yacholi shamet miyom amisa umiyom adin. You cannot escape not just death, but also judgment that comes with death. Look at B2. Bartanura adds an element to this. He says, Mitsuda prusa yisurin umisa. So not just death you can't escape, you also can't escape suffering. We're all going to suffer at some point. And it's inescapable. Look at skip C2, go to D2. So flip the page to Tiferes Yisrael. Everybody with me? Are we following? D2. Umitsuda prusa al kol ha'chayim. Excuse me. So we're more likely to get damaged rather than to succeed. Right, the world is like this one big giant trap. And there's these little seeds. We're like an oaf, omeid, mishtokek, lauf letocho, right? So it's a bird trap. They're little seeds that we want to get those little seeds. And we go and we run into the net. Kein yesh gam kein ba'adam atzmo, netia lahachrias atzmo lira'oso yoser milita'ovoso. He says this is a general statement about human nature, that people are more likely to damage themselves rather than to benefit themselves. We're like little kids or birds who are ready. We're always going to like go after that little candy to get trapped. Mitukim lefanav hasibos sheyuchal behen lehisroshesh. All of the reasons why we can possibly go wrong are they're there, they're ready for us. Ulahachlias atzmo, to make ourselves sick. Ulahamis es atzmo, to make ourselves die because of our choices. Ulishar sachel, to be foolish. Ad shebit teshuka nimratza yimar el pacha. Right, very quickly, basically, the trap is there. It's not just that we're going to die. It's not just that there's punishment. It's that we're going to mess up. Right, it's very easy. Let's reframe that. Not that we're gonna mess up. It's very easy for us to mess up. It's more easy for us to mess up than it is to succeed. Okay, so the world is a dangerous place. That's the beautiful, uplifting message so far. Okay, quickly, yeah. We're not done. Okay, I'm not sure you're not going to be depressed at the end, but let's keep going. Right. Okay, you got to get ready for the banquet. There's a banquet at the end, all right? The banquet. There's always a banquet at the end. Okay. Have hope. Let's keep going. Back to number three. Okay, back to number three. So this metaphor is related to storekeepers, right? So hachanut pitucha, the store is open, v'achenvani makif, the storekeeper allows credit, v'apinchas patuach, okay, you can take stuff, but I'm writing it down, v'yad kosebes, the hand is writing, v'chol arotz elavos yavav yavos, so take whatever you want, but just remember that it's getting written down. So let's start with Rashi, A3, Hachanut Pitucha. Shekol mi sheyirtze lishtot yayin yikanes lisham. So for some reason Rashi just jumps and assumes it's a wine store. It wasn't Rashi, right? That was his profession. What? He had a vineyard, right? So there's a store. There's a wine store that's open. So you should go. Everybody can go there. And again, shekol mi sheyirtze lishtot yayin yikanes lisham. Kacha adam. So what's the metaphor? So the nimshal is that if you want to drink a lot, you want to get drunk, we're going to allow you. Right? So what does this remind you of? The previous Mishnah. Rishus Nisuna. Right? The store is open. You can do whatever you want. We're not going to stop you. You can take whatever you want. Drink as much as you want. Do as many sins as you want. It's open. So, but it's not that you have not. There's no consequences. So Rashi continues. Next line in A3. Vachen vani makif yain ba kafa ba manal livnei adam kacha kadosh baruch hu erech apayim lerishaim. So he says that the chen vani is the storekeeper. He's around, right? He allows credit. So God also allows credit, meaning you're not going to have to pay for that sin right away. God gives you time. Eventually, yes. Eventually, you'll be responsible. But you have time. You're not going to have to pay right away. And that's why God is erech apayim. God is. He takes him a while to get angry to rishaim. Keep going. Va'pinchas pasuach kosha lifnei achen bani. Right? The book is always open. Va'yad koseves. Va'oso pinchas ha'cheshbon shal kol echad ve'echad al kol pruta u'pruta kama chayev lo. Minu kach kosvin lemaila b'sefer azichronos al kol chet v'chet she'adam oseh limata. So just like this person who's the wine store guy is going to be writing down every penny that you owe, so God, right, the nimshal is that God is writing down all of our sins. It's all being written down, right? So again, the guest shouldn't be depressed. This is like a core of our understanding of what Judaism is, right? Good things too. Right? Good things too. We'll get to good things. Nobody said anything about good things yet. Look at now B3. So B3 is the Bartanura. The Bartanura says, Hachanut Pitucha, Uvnei Adam Nichnasim Sham Velochim Ba'akafa. So again, you could come and take whatever you want on loan. V'chenvani Makif U'ma'amin L'kol Ha'balito. So the Chenvani believes you, right? Meaning there has to be some level of trust within him. That's an uplifting statement, right? So he has trust in you. Kach b'nei adam chotim b'chol yom. Okay, that's not uplifting. People sin all the time, every day. Ba'kadosh Baruch Hu mamtim lahem ad ba'itam. God waits until the time comes. Ha'pinchas pitucha liftov ba ha'kafot kedei shlo yishka. So we're going to write things down so we don't forget, and that'll come important in a second. Ba'yad koseves shlo tomar. God's busy, right? The storekeeper's busy. I'm going to take it. He's going to forget. He's going to write it down. He's going to make a mistake. He's going to lose his book, right? So maybe I'll get away with this one for free in the end.
That's what I'm thinking.
We'll be here. Right? So now everything is written down. So he says it explicitly, like I alluded to before. He connects it back to the previous Mishnah that you have free will. You can choose whatever you want. You don't have to take the wine, meaning you don't have to sin. Right? You have free will. You could choose to sin. You could choose not to sin. If you want to sin, it's being written down and you're going to have to pay for it. Now, look at C3, Rabbeinu Yonah, right on the bottom of the page. V'hachanut pitucha shebnei adam nichnasim l'sham. So people go into the store. V'lochim koma shetzrichim ata ve'einin roin es hanolad. People take what they need now, and they don't see, that we've seen this Mishnah before, you can't foresee the future. That's one of the five things. Remember the students of Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said, what's the derech that we should follow? So I believe it was Shimon ben Nisano, if I'm not correct, related, you can check it up. It's 2:8. You didn't bring it with you? Okay, 2:8 or 2:9. So check, I think it's Shimon ben Nisano says that the way you should, that you should act, the best midah to have is to be roes anolah, to be able to foresee the future, meaning see that there's consequences to your actions. So Rabbeinu Yonah here is saying is that most people don't look to the future. They don't see that there's consequences. Yes, I can take this wine, but there's consequences to me taking that wine. V'lo choshvin ba'agia zman ha'piraon im yelahem lehipareya me'afra shemotzien esachanos pesucha. I see that it's open. I don't realize that eventually I'm going to have to pay for that. V'yacholim lakachas kol tzarchav l'fisha. Everybody takes what they need today. They think about the present. That's us in this world. We think about the present. We don't think about the future. Flip the page. And here we get to an interesting discussion about the book and everything that's written in this book. So Rabbeinu Yonah, all the way on the top of the page, first line on the page, about Pinchas Pesucha. Laser, what is it, right? You got it? Can't find, okay. We'll do it later. Ba'pinchas pesucha, l'shnayim inyanim ne'amar hadavar. So second side of the page, first word, first line. There's two things that's going on here. Ha'echad l'mashal, ki ein shichacha l'fnei kisei kvodo. God doesn't forget. Ki achen v'ani makif, shemakifu malveh l'kama b'nei adam. He's loaning to lots of people. Mehem l'alafim or vavos, could be a thousand, tens of thousands. U'mehem l'dinar, v'lifshot im lo mipnei zrizuso, shapinchas pesucha lefanav, miyad kosef esakol, lefamim ayashocheach. So if you have this big store, so chances are somebody's going to forget something. There's thousands of people coming in. Dvarim ketanim ipnei agdolim, I'm going to forget about the small bottle of wine. What do we got?
Rav Shimon, yeah.
Rav Shimon, okay, we got it. Excellent, thank you. Rav Shimon, Omer, halov, aveinu mashalom. Thank you.
Extra credit.
Okay. Third line. So again, in normal life, you're hoping that they're going to forget. They're not going to keep track. Bein achatayim agdolim vaktanim kulam ki'ilu lifanav nichtavim v'lo shachach avonos harishonim. No matter what you do, big, small, avera, sin, doesn't matter, it is all written down. So that's number one. V'hasheni lo dianu ki ein mamtinen l'ptichas ha-pinchas achar she'ose ha-chet ela b'gmar ha-maisa kvar kasav hu kidei shlo yavor regash o nimna alava avonahu. So now, you thought it was bad that everything's written down. Not only is everything written down, but everything's written down the second that you do it, right? Immediately. Why does that matter? Shafo pisha abonos nimchal nabalei tshuva. Right, so this is a scary statement he says here. Everything is written down right away, because the sin is going to take effect and you're going to be responsible for that right away. And he says, so what about the fact that you do tshuva? Right? Where does my sin go when I do tshuva? If it's written down in this ledger, does that mean it gets crossed out of the ledger when I do tshuva? Okay. So nimnin osan tchila, miyad shegamu melasosan, v'acharechein im yachzor b'tshuva mochlin lo. So it's all written down right away. And if you do tshuva, then we forgive it. God forgives it. Kedamrina b'medrash, eino kemishalo asa'u, ela asa'u v'nimchal. Right, so this is a fascinating thing to think about. When you do a sin, he's highlighting here that it's written down and then it's erased. It's not that it didn't happen in the first place. Right? There's a difference between conceptualizing that I didn't do a sin at all versus I did it and now it's being erased. So he's highlighting, he wants to emphasize here, and this is there are other opinions on this, but he wants to emphasize here that the sin is there. It does, it gets erased, but it was there. There was a mark. Well, then he says it is erased, right? The nimchal, right? Forgiven. El aso v'nimchal shegol d'mishal. Right, he doesn't say it's erased. So we'll keep going. Masha Amar Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim Mamakam Shabali Tshuva Omdim Sham. Rotze Lomar Shabali Tshuva Yeshlam Nifarish Mina Musar Keinyan Shechata Bo Kemoim Avar Ala Arayos. Vafil Beishto Yeshlis Nagim Abamidas Haprishus Bedavar Shechata Bo Yifrosh Vafil Mina Mutter Yosem Mashat Tzadikim Gemurim Tzricha Maasa. So here's his point. His point is, don't think the sin never happened. The sin happened. Right, we'll forgive you for the sin, and you're right. If it's still written in there, or if it's just forgiven, or if it's erased, unclear. But his point here is that you, as a person, have to realize that just because you did tshuva, it doesn't wipe away, practically, physically, from your body, from your psychology, what you did. So you are more prone to sinning again, even though you did tshuva. Right? There's a rosh, and there's an imprint of the fact that you already did this, then now you have to be more careful. So don't think that just because I did tshuva, it's as if it never happened. It happened. And that's important for two reasons. It's important for whatever reason God is keeping in his ledger, but it's more important for the fact that we have to be aware of that, that there's at least an imprint in our brains, there's at least an imprint in our muscle memory for that sin, so therefore, make sure that you take extra precautions not to do that sin again. So that's his point over here. Yeah.
But this is only between sins between man and God, not between man and God.
Who said?
The point is, I always thought from the standpoint, if you sin against a neighbor, you have to first beseech him to come to forgiveness.
Yeah, I mean that's true. But I would say that even for sins between Ben Adam l'chavero, there's still an imprint that still gets written down. Right? There's still every sin bein adam l'chavero is also a sin bein adam l'makom. Right? So you have to. God's not going to forgive you for what you did to your friend until you get your friend's forgiveness. But you still have to. Still an accounting and reckoning with God. Okay. Now, let's go back. Now, so we did that. So now we're up to four. Okay, four. So we just did three. Now we're up to four. The main point of three is that we have free will. We can take what we want, but everything's written down, and there's an accounting for every single detail, not just the big points. Number four. So remember, the chanut, the chenvani, is the store owner, allows you to take on loan, but now we're introduced to another person, or another set of subjects. The hagabaim. Who are these gabaim? Right? The gabaim are machzirim tadir b'chol yom. So these collectors who are not the chenvani, this is not the storekeeper. So if we're doing the metaphor, this would not be God per se, right? God is the chenvani in our metaphor. The gabaim are the collectors. We'll have to see who are these collectors. But these collectors are going around and trying to take back what you owe. And then for some reason, we'll have to understand this too, they do it midato v'shalo midato. They take back either with your knowledge or without your knowledge. What does that mean? We'll have to see that. And then Yeshlam Amashi Smoch, who sounds like they have, you know, they're in their right to do what they're doing. All right, so let's see what this is talking about. Look at Rashi, A4, V'hagaba'im shalachen bani, Ochinu machzirin tamir achorei balei chobot shalachen bani legabot mikol. So in the metaphor, what we're talking about is that the store owner sends around these collectors and they go and try to take back all the bills that are owed. And that's the ma'osav bein midato. So then he continues here in 4a. So nusach acher ba'achanut petucha halom ezeh lefnei adam. So again, the world is open for everybody. Ba'achanvani makif adon ha'olam tzofeh ma'bit v'kotev v'pinchaso. God writes everything down, that we saw already. The pinchas is luach mechupa b'shava v'kotvinbo, is this is what he's writing on. And then the gaba'im are the elu shluchei makom. So God's messengers. It doesn't really help us, because who are these shluchei makom? Who are these messengers that are functioning as these gaba'im? Now go to 4b, nusach acher, so another explanation. V'hagaba'im machzirin b'chol yom leveito. So the guys are going to your house and they're trying to collect the debt. So here's what the God is doing. They're going to take everything back at the end. Everything is done accurately. It's what you deserve. Right? Everything, they're God's messengers, so that's who they're relying on. Everything is done accurately. So, okay, Rashi didn't really tell us that much. We don't really know what's going on. Who are these gabayim? What are they taking from us? What does it mean they're taking us with our knowledge or without our knowledge? Rashi says a lot, but doesn't seem to add or clarify. So look at B4, the Bartanura tells us. Who are these gabayim? Yisurim upegaim ra'im, suffering and bad diseases, afflictions, things that happen to us. These are the gabaim, and they are what come to collect from us. So what's l'da'ato? Pa'amim shizocher et chovov omer yafa dantani. And sometimes you get punished, right? You get some sort of suffering, and you're like, oh yeah, I deserve that. Right? So it doesn't happen that often. More often than not, it's shalomi dato. Next line, pamim sheshachach. We forgot what we did. V'koret tagar kenegedino shemaka baruch hu. How dare you, God? I don't deserve this. So that's lo midato. So midato here means do I remember what I did to deserve this, or do I not? V'yesh lahem amashi yismochu. Next line, ala pinchas v'alachen vanishu neman al pinkaso. Kacha yisurim halalu hein nismachim al ma'asav shel adam hanizkarim lefnei ha'makom baruch hu alfa pishem nishkachim min ha'adam. So the everything, what are they relying on? What are these yisurim relying on? So A, the fact that everything's written down. God has everything written down. And then also he brings it back to the fact that how did we start off? Hakol natun be'er avon means that our body, our limbs are responsible, right? And there our neshama pays for what the body and the limbs do. So he says that that's the same thing here, that they're relying on the ma'asav shel adam, right? It's our actions, even though we, our brains forgot about it, the actions, they're all there. Everything is there. Everything is written in stone, if you will. Flip the page. Let's go to 4. So this is C4. Right, so you're on the second side of the page. If you went to D, you're too far. Right, so on top of D it says 6. Then on top of 6 it says 4. I know there's no 5 because he doesn't comment on 5. So gaba'in machzirin tamid b'chol yom min ha'shamayim shemechapsin achar ma'aseh b'nei ha'adam. So now the gaba'im, he doesn't say like Bartanura that they're talking about Puranot, right? He's not talking about afflictions and diseases and stuff like that. He actually doesn't tell us what he's talking about. It's these gaba'im are coming from Shamayim, and they're looking to see, you know, how can they take back what they earned or what they deserve. V'Nifraim, next bolded line or two down. Nifraim in Adam l'dayto. Ketzad, kishiyodeya v'zocher ha'avon sh'osek sh'ba parunose lav makir mashkiach kimipnei oso achet. Same, similar to Bartanura, that when I get punished and I can tie it to what I did, I understand that. V'ashrav shal yedeze matzdik et adin v'chozer v'tshuva mitkaper lo al avon. He says, this is good. If you can tie your punishment to what you did wrong, that's like a blessing. Because then you can say, I deserve this. You can do tshuva, and then you get atonement for what you did. So it's always good to try to tie in your afflictions to something that you did. But then he says, v'shelo l'dato is the opposite. Ketzad, kigon shiyisurin b'ayin alav, ve'eno zocher al achatayim asher asa. I don't remember what I did. I don't deserve this. We're righteous. Why are we being punished like this? And that's the reason why that's bad. If you don't recognize it, is because then you don't do tshuva for what you did. And he continues. But the main idea here is, and over and over and over again, you'll see this, and this seems to be a running theme in Chazal, is that you deserve what you get, right? We tend to not think this way, and we say, like, okay, sometimes you can't really understand, you can't really explain, you can't really figure out what's going on. I'm not sure it's true, right? Now, this doesn't mean you should judge other people and say, this is wrong, you're getting punished for what you did. Right? But on a personal level, I think we can all be honest enough that if we get punished, we've done something wrong. Now, we might think that it's beyond the scope of what we did, so we might complain a little bit that this is too much, right? It shouldn't be this hard. Okay, we get that, but at the end of the day, I think at a minimal level, we should all be able to say, if we have something wrong to us, goes wrong to us, not to other people, something goes wrong to us, if we can finally and realize that this must be something I did wrong, so let me do tshuva. Even if I can't directly connect it to this, that, or the other thing, if I say, let me try to improve one thing, because something bad is happening to me now, that's the main message here. Try to connect something, suffering to something we did wrong, and in this way, it can lead to tshuva. Let's do D4. D4. You cannot. I'm not saying you can. Some people might say you could, but I'm saying you don't have to figure out. Right? Sometimes. Let's read D4, and then we'll ask your question again. So D4 is Tiferes Yisrael. Hagabayim Masurin Tadir B'chol Yom. Wrote Zilomar Aparanos Mimikraim Shluchei Hakadosh Baruch. So he, like the Bartanura, says that these Gabayim are bad things that happen. Those are messengers of God. We get punished for what sins we have. So these sufferings are sort of outside, ready to pounce. Sometimes they catch this bird, sometimes they catch that bird. He's going back to the Mitsuda Prusa metaphor, that there's a trap out there. And now, v'nifraim midaito v'shelo midaito. They come, either we know about it or we don't know about it. Rotze lomar, bein shesivev hasiva bedaito uvritzono ba'atzmo lavo lahatzara. Whether or not we directly cause and realize what is going on, why the suffering is happening. So now it gives you examples. How would we know it? Kigon, shahalach liyam v'histake. Right? So I do something dangerous, and I'm in danger, right? So that's pretty obvious. Nasa l'shuk v'nignav schoraso. So you go to the... I'm not sure why this would be something wrong, but for some reason you go to the shuk, and then you get your purse stolen. Halo v'lo adam v'lo paralo. Right? So you lend to somebody, they don't pay you back. Achol davar v'huchla. Right? That one's pretty straightforward. Right? You eat something, and you get sick. Ulufamim gam shelo midaito. So that's the midaito. You could connect it at sometimes, in which case it's not so easy, but sometimes. So these are.
That's why when the squirrel was stolen, it's like you were going to sell stuff and your wares got stolen. Or you went to the beach and then you were in a danger. Something.
Right, meaning you've done something wrong or dangerous, or, so, you know, again, you've done something. And the punishment was obviously a byproduct of that. Meaning, you smoked cigarettes all your life and you got lung cancer. Right? So, again, I'm not sure if you can directly say, would you not have gotten lung cancer if you didn't smoke cigarettes? Maybe. But it's a pretty clear line between A, And B, you drank so much that you passed out, and now you're in the hospital. That's pretty straightforward between A and B. So that's midaito. Hold on. So now let's go to lo midaito. Lufamim gam shelo midaito. Rak mi'atzma batzar. It feels like this suffering is happening on its own. It's nothing that I did or caused. Kigon she'es sarah beso. Oganabim chasru otsro. Otal nafal Allah. Right? Something falls on me. My house goes on fire. I get robbed. Kedome. So again, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's not. Inami midaito v'shelo midaito. Afal gav shekvar shachach legamrei cheto v'sho lamana. Sometimes we forget that we sin. So that's the lo midaito. Bimtim se lomar imkein ma hoil ha'ones. So why does the punishment help if I don't know why it's coming? Lahachi heishiv yeshlen amashi yismochu. Dibiyadu shelo lechinam ne'nash yigmar belivo me'achshav l'daktik tfei b'masav v'yashuv al Hashem v'yirachameyu. So I don't know why. So why am I getting punished? I don't remember. So the answer is, this is the answer. It's something. There's a reason. You did something wrong at some point in time that God is punishing you for. Why? I don't remember. So what am I supposed to do? Do tshuva. Be better. Do mitzvos. Do less averos. Right? It's all the function of these yisurim are to make us realize that we deserve this for some reason, and let's try to do better. That's it. That's it. Right? So now, again, it's not simple, but that's the idea. Go back to, I skipped something before, and then we'll do the last things quickly. Don't move the page. Go back to 3. Right on top of 4. We just did 4. Stay on the same page. D3. Okay, so D3 is the Tiferes Yisrael. I skipped this for some reason. I'm not sure. But he says here, Chanut Pitucha, the store is open. So he tells us a little bit, he does a different approach than everybody else. Rotze Lomar, Lo Bilvad Alul Nezek Gufo, Elagam Hefsed Nishmaso Alula Lo Yoser Mehashlam Masa. So if you remember from the past when he said in D2, he's the one who said that the fact that the trap is out there is that we are more likely to get hurt than to be saved, right? So that the world is a dangerous place. That was his point. So he says that's true about spiritual things as well. We're more likely to ruin our neshamas than to perfect our neshamas. Yes, I have free will. So I have a stronger leaning towards being wicked than to being righteous. Every sin is there, it's ready for me. Basically, the world is a dangerous physical place, the world is a dangerous spiritual place, and the chenvani makif. Remember, most people so far, who's the chenvani? God. God is the storekeeper. Look how he understands the storekeeper. V'chenvani makif, hayetzer hara. Hu hataiva sheba adam. It's our desires. Hu achenvani. Hamakifu mekarev anashim al schorato. The chenvani is trying to entice you to buy its wine, to buy its product. So he understands the Mishnah differently, at least this part, than other people. And he's going with his whole mindset. His main point of this whole Mishnah is the world is a dangerous place. And the reason is because the Yetzer Hara is out there. He's makif. He's trying to pounce. He's trying to get you. He's trying to sell his goods. He's trying to sell everything that he has in the store. So it's it's sort of like an unfair fight, right? It's harder to be good than it is to be bad. It's much easier to be bad than it is to be good. Because I skipped that before, but I thought that was an important point to bring out. And then flip back. Hold on one second. Flip back, and we'll just do 5 and 6 quickly, and then we'll see if we have enough time to do the other sheet. So, Vadin Din MS. So this all comes back to, everything is MS. Everything is MS. God's judgment is MS. If you have a problem with that, you just have a problem with that. I don't know what to tell you. It all comes down to that. Everything is from God, and everything is MS. Vakom esukam l'su'uda. And now, for the hopeful part, everything is prepared for the banquet. So what's this banquet and what are we prepared for? So most commentators will just do, let's do B6, just for a snippet of an idea. B6, same page, B6, the Bartanura. Hakom et tukan l'su'uda. Echad tzadikim ve'echad rishayim li'esham chelik l'olam haba la'achar shegavu mehem eschoba. Both righteous and wicked have a portion in the world to come. Why? because they paid for what they need to pay for. Right? This whole system is made, it's truth, it's judgment, it's all fair, and it's all being done to the point where at the end, once you pay for what you did, then you're good. Go have a good time. Go to Olam Haba. The Suda is ready for you. You can enjoy it at that point in time. And if you could look at the other ones if you want. You could look at the other ones. They sort of say similar things. But that's the main idea. In the end, there is hope because, yes, there's judgment and we're going to pay for what we do. There's consequences to our actions. And if you don't think that, then you're denying God's reward and punishment, which is one of the Ikari HaEmunah. So you got to remember that everything is fair game. There's no little sins that get wiped under the table. There's no free passes. You do tshuva, great. That's your only option here. It's tshuva. There's no free passes otherwise. Somebody tell me the time, please.
10:05.
Okay, so we have time. So now, go to this sheet. Quickly, yeah. Correct. The main idea here, and this is. Again, this is a controversial and big topic. We spoke about this already in a previous Mishnah as to the concept of why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. So this is a very bigger topic than we're making it out to be. At the very least, the current Mishnah is making it pretty simple. Right? The current Mishnah is saying it's sort of black and white, is that bad things happen because we deserve them, good things happen because we deserve them, and there's no free passes. It's more complex, there are more opinions, and I'm not trying to give you a complete and exhaustive treatment of that particular topic, but you're 100% correct. From this perspective, it is pretty black and white. So now, look at 522. You have one page in front of you. On the top of the page, it should say 522, 523, 524, and 525. So start where it says on the top right, it says 522. Everybody with me? On the bottom of that page, there's a little, two lines. It says a line, it says Shayla 17, and there's another line. Then I have a star and an arrow. There's enough guidelines there to find out where we're starting, okay? So it's that bottom right-hand side of 522, that last part. So this is taken from a book called Medrash Va'agada. It's by Yonah Frankel, who is a scholar expert in Medrash and Agada. I bought this three-volume set. Just give you a quick backstory to this from Mizrahi Books, who I've told you about before. He's on Quentin and 32nd, used bookstore, great place to go. So one time I was there just randomly, and he just got a new shipment of books from somewhere. So he has this minivan that was filled, like no seats, like seats aren't there. Just the whole minivan filled from bottom to top, just stacks of books that he just took from somebody's library. So I was the first, you know, eyes to see it. So I'm literally crawling in this van before he took it out. So I found this three-volume set. I was very excited about it because I think the next big topic that I want to do, although I'm not committed to it fully yet, is Agadata. So on Shabbos, I was trying to see, you know, there's a lot going on in the Mishnah, but I felt it was pretty straightforward. And I like having something like a kicker, something sort of different. And I didn't have it. So I was going through all my Pirkei Avos books, and I couldn't find anything that sort of jumped at me and said, okay, this is different. This is, you know, going against the trend. So I said, okay, let me go look. My next, you know, project would be Agadata just for fun. So I'll distract myself for a little bit. So I'm going through the ten pages of the table of contents. So I'm just going through table of contents. And in the table of contents, he has one section on Pirkei Avos. I'm like, what are the chances that so right here on this Mishnah, he has two pages. So that's what you have in front of you. 522 on the bottom right. So he says, Na'avor ke'es l'mishnah tes zayin, sheish bakama mishalim. So let's go through Mishnah tes zayin, as many parables. V'nir achar kach es ha'kesher b'neim l'meimra kol tzafui v'arashus nisuna. And we're going to try to connect them to the previous Mishnah, that everything is foreseen and permission is granted. Mishalom Ela Benuyim Bederach Shishona Mimashara Inu Bechida Bav. So he says it's different than what we saw previously. Asher Ba Asakbi Mebashleim Mesugim Shonim. So we saw in a previous section, which we didn't see, different types of parables. יש כאן משפטים קצרים ובהם תמונות משליות שלעיתים מתחלפות מהר ולעיתים יוצרות רצף שליות. So it says there's quick metaphors here that seem to go from one thing to the other without skipping a beat. So now, five different metaphors. Tmuna Aleph. Hakol natun be'eravon. Vihi min ahavui shel malvin velovin. So the first type of metaphor is lenders and borrowers. Tmuna bet. The mitsuda prusa al kol achayim. And he says there's a different language in a different manuscript. But Kifayaz Kaufman Kasuv El Kolachayim. Benidu Mazel Halan, we'll deal with that later. We're not going to. But the Mitsuda Prusa Kolachayim, what's the metaphor? Hatmunalu Kucha Mimalachtim Shal Dayagim Otsayadim. It's hunters, fishermen. That's the second metaphor. What's the third metaphor? Last line on the right column. Tmuna Gimel. Hachanu Pitucha Bachanini Makifa Pinchas Patuach Vayad Kotevet. Zot Tmuna Minashuk. It's based on the marketplace. Left-hand side now, page 523. Timuna Dalid, Hakol Ratzul Lavot, Yavo V'Yilveh. Skip to where I underlined in that same paragraph. He says that Zeu Shuv Havui Shal Malvim V'Lovim, Achnir Shugam Hemshach Timunat Hashuk. So he says this could go either way. It could either be a continuation. The fact that anybody could come and borrow can either be a continuation of the first clause that has to do with Hakol Natun Be'eravon, everything is collateral, lenders, borrowers, or it could be a marketplace metaphor that you can come and borrow from the store. And then finally, Tmuna Hey, right underneath that, Hakol Mitukan Lesuda, Hu Ha'avui Shal Bal Bayit Shehechin Suda Umazmin Et Ha'orchim. The final metaphor is a household, is a person inviting people to a meal, right? Which is a metaphor we said for the final meal in Olam Haba. But at the end of the day, the standard is we're talking about there's some sort of food coming at the end of this, right? So he doesn't talk about that here yet, right? I would add that Din Din Emet is a sixth metaphor that has to do with judgment, right? Because all of this isn't judgment, right? You're not judged wouldn't you say that when you come to collect your bills, you're being judged? Right, so din din amat. Right, he skips it, but I would say that's a sixth metaphor of judged. So now, he says, let's see, this is going to take us too long, so I'm going to have to cut out some stuff. So we'll start and then we'll move on if we need to. So shtei hatmunot harishonot eino pshutot. So he says the first two aren't so clear, so we're going to start with the third and then we'll move back to the first two. We'll go to three and then go back to one and two. Bitmuna gimel arba mishpatim. So there's four parts to the third part of the Mishnah. And if you want to look on, just to keep yourself reminded of what the Mishnah says, you can look in your other sheet. The third part we have here is hachanu p'tucha v'chanvani makif. So that's two things. Hapinchas patuach is the third thing. Yad kosebes and mechol arotz lavos yavo v'yilveh. So he says here, there's four things going on here. Shnayim mazminim mifatim es adam lakachat. There's two things that are saying you can come and take. Vishnayim mazirinatun. There's two things that are saying be careful what you take. Right. So it's telling you both sides. You could take, but be careful what you take. Hadam yachol hitpatot litol mikol tov v'chanut. You can take whatever you want. Somebody's writing and everything's written down. So this we already see is connected, as we pointed out, to the previous Mishnah of Harishut Nituna, that everything is, we have permission is granted. But he says that, notice, skip to where I underlined the next one, in Haseder Hu Hafuch. Right. In the previous Mishnah, it's Hakol Tzafui, everything is accounting, and Rishut Nituna, you have free will, you can choose. Here it's flip. It's you can take whatever you want, but there's an accounting. Right. So it's which one comes first? The fact that there's an accounting, or the fact that you have free will? Previous Mishnah, it's accounting is first, free will is second. This Mishnah, it's free will is first, accounting is second. And then we'll now do some triage. In the next paragraph, just look where I underlined. He says the fourth part is Piron Muzar Ma'od. This whole accounting of the Gabayim coming and they're taking, you know about it, you don't know about it. It's very weird, right? It's a very strange, that's not how accountings work. That's not how, you know, you get a bill in the mail. It's like, they're going to take it. Do you know they're going to take it? They're not going to take it. Right? That's not how things normally work. Why is it so strange? So just keep in mind that it's a strange way of things coming out. And then in the next paragraph, he says that everything is mitukan, the suda is ready. Again, it's a strange metaphor as to what this bala bayis, what is he ready for? What does he want from you? What is he trying to get out of you? It's a little bit unclear. So now we're going to go back to the second one. This is, if you go to where it says 5 on the left-hand side, same page, I sort of outlined the paragraph for you. So paragraph 5, Nachzor ke'es l'tmuna ashniyah. Let's go back to the second one, that there's a mitsuda perusa. Now if you notice, we did this, we saw these two things in our commentators, but we didn't spell it out explicitly. What are the two types of mitsuda perusa? That there's a trap, there's a net. What can the net be a meta? What can be the net teaching us? What's the net? Either punishment or...
Death.
What was the first one?
Death.
Death. Right? Those are two different things. Death or punishment. Death, you can't escape. Punishment, you could escape by not doing the bad thing. Right? So those are two types of ways of looking at the mitzuda. And he says that he first quotes a person named Albuk and then Rabbi Yosef ibn Inkin, who basically say those two things. The first one says that it's mabes, einat salimani, you can't free yourself. And the second one says, you know, you have a choice. You can avoid the net by not doing the sin. So flip the page now. So go to one we just said out loud, that those two different conceptualizations. Go to on 524.2, Ke'es, paragraph 2. So let's go back to the first one. Hakol natun be'eravon. Eravon nimsa b'derach klal b'dei ha'malveh. B'yesh b'yachsel shel adam el eravon shnei hebatim. When I'm looking at the fact that I have this collateral, I'm going to look at two things. Number one is that I have to chuchayev lishmor alav hetev. So if you give me something to keep, I have to watch it carefully because I have to give it back. And I'm going to get back what I deserve at the end. Rabbi Akiva Omer, God is watching to see how we deal with everything that He lends to us, everything that He gives us. If we don't treat what He gives to us nicely, we're going to lose a lot. Again, if we do it correctly, somebody pointed out this before, what if I do it right? What about the mitzvos? Then you get rewarded for that. That's the banquet at the end. I can't get pleasure from the thing that was lent from me. And if we have this mindset, we're going to remember that at the end there is reward. At the end we will get rewarded for keeping the rules. But he continues, if you put these things together, so we see our obligations, but we also see the danger. From two different perspectives. Everything we give is on loan. Everything we get, is on loan. Anything that is not ours is bait. It's dangerous. So I have to always be aware, I always have to be careful, there is danger, and I have to keep the goal and the prize and the mindset for the future in mind, that there will be reward for this. In 3, and we're going to skip 3, I'll just tell you briefly outside, he says that everything is judged accurately, and everything is ready for the Su'uda, and that, see where I underlined it? He says in 3, V'tova olam nidon mashmo akol mitukan l'suda, klomar mirosh kavanat balabayiti sharochim yuzakim lavo l'suda. And this is an important mindset to help those who felt hopeless. Right? God wants us to go to the Seuda. Right? This whole system is put into place that He wants us to get reward and He wants us to be able to sit and enjoy at the end of the day. And now he go to six. Okay, and here's the kicker, here's the end. He's going to connect four and in number four, before we get to number six, in number four and five, he starts to tell us that we have to look at Rabbi Akiva's previous Mishnah in context with this Mishnah, as he already started to do, that everything is foreseen, we have free will. And now here he's talking about we have free will, but we get consequences based on that. So let's read number six. Darcho shel Rabbi Akiva hayta lahatzig et harayon hamufshat b'mishnah tetvav v'achar kach la'abia oto b'lashon mishalit rechava u'miguvenet b'mishnah tetzayin. So he says here, and sorry if this lost you, I know this is a little bit of rambling for a while because I tried to do too much in too little time. But the big picture here is like this. Rabbi Akiva has two Mishnayos. Each one is connected to each other. What you have in the previous Mishnah is an abstract philosophical principle. Your abstract philosophical principle is his free will and divine foreknowledge. Nice abstract philosophical principle. But I don't want to just talk to you in abstract philosophical principles. I also want to give you a metaphor to make it more palatable, for you to understand it better. So then in the next Mishnah, and this is really why this is important, because he's saying this whole Mishnah is just an elaboration of the previous Mishnah. He's taking an abstract philosophy in the previous Mishnah and putting it into concrete metaphorical principles in this Mishnah. Right? I'm spelling it out. I'm making it nice so you can understand it. Put it in language that somebody can identify with. Right? So now he says that we already had something like this. We already had something like this in Pirkei Avos. Right, this is a hard one. I'm not even going to test you. Yesh lanu dugma nosefes l'derech zos b'maseches Avos b'sof perek beis mishnayos tezva b'tez zayin. The end of the second perek, the 15th and 16th mishnayos, el shekan halach Rabbi Tarfon b'seder hafuch. So Rabbi Tarfon said, look at, before we see what he says about Rabbi Tarfon, he gives it to us. Look right underneath this, tezva b'tez zayin. Right, the next paragraph. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayom Katzar v'Amalacha Meruba v'Apoalim Atzilim v'Aschar Harbei v'Balabayis Dochi. Very similar metaphor, right? He's talking about reward and punishment. This is the last time we spoke about reward and punishment. Rabbi Tarfon says the day is short. There's a lot of workers, but they're lazy. There's a lot of work. The workers are lazy. There's a lot of reward, and Balabayis, meaning God, is knocking. And then the next Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon says, "Huaya Omer lo alecham lacha ligmor." It's not up to you to finish. Lo ata ben chorin li batel mimena, and you can't escape it. You still have to try, right? So, what did he just do? He did the opposite of Rabbi Akiva, right? He's telling us the same point twice. What's the point? You have a lot of work to do, right? But it's hard. We don't like to work, right? That's the abstract principle. Here's a metaphor for that abstract principle. Look at it in terms of human interactions. You look at it in terms of how people deal with their employees and employers. That's the metaphor. So Rabbi Akiva gives us an abstract principle, Hakol Tzapoy V'Arashus Nesuna. God sees everything, we have free will. Now here's a metaphor, how you can see it in terms of human eyes. This is how you have human interactions. It's like a storekeeper. It's like a loaner. It's like a lender, right? Rabbi Tarfon does the same thing. He says, here's your metaphor, and then here's your abstract principle. Right, so Rabbi Akiva, if you now go to what we just skipped in the previous paragraph, b'mishnah tezvav hu nasan es hamashal b'retzav shal mishpatim k'tzarim u'b'mishnah tezayin hu etzig et hanimshal. So first he gives the mashal, and then he gives the nimshal. So what we have here, according to the way that Yonah Frankel is reading us, I think is very fascinating, and it puts everything into perspective. Right, this isn't just a random metaphor. You just read it as a random metaphor without a broader context. It seems strange. It seems random, right? But if you read it, it's very much connected to the same thing we spoke about last week. What did we speak about last week? God knows everything, meaning God sees everything, meaning God's gonna. There's consequences to everything, and you still have free will. Understand that in your own terms. You could come in, take as much wine as you want, but you're gonna have to pay for it at the end, right? So that's the nimshal. He's just bringing out the same exact point that we spoke about last week. So I know we did a lot. I know there's a lot of stuff going on here. The main big point is that